Thank y'all. That's some good singing. I appreciate that. Thankful for the kindness of God. If it wasn't for His kindness and if it wasn't for His mercy, where would you and I be today? Question is, would we, you and I even be here today? And as many times as I failed Him, I'm thankful for the mercy of God, His grace will allow us to be here. Amen. 1 Kings chapter number 19, and I hope you've already found your place. We're going to begin our reading in verse number 1. We'll take a look at several verses in here, and then we'll read through verse number 12, I guess. I'm going to take some text out of verse number 7, and that's where we're going to stick around. But anyhow, we'll read a little bit of Bible this morning. Everybody ready? All right, if you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not, you probably ain't going to find it. And so look up on the screen. All right, here we go. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. This is in reference to the previous chapters where Elijah had a contest with the prophets of Baal. Baal worship had overtaken Israel at this time. And God sent a messenger. God sent a prophet by the name of Elijah. His very name means Jehovah is God, is my God. That's what it means. And so his very name announced his message. He was coming to preach to Israel that God is still alive and there is a living God. And of course, the Bible tells us that he confronts Ahab at the beginning of this ministry in chapter number 17, walks out and tells him, hey man, it ain't going to rain until I say it is, and turned around and walked off. I need somebody to help me, all right? The Bible later tells us in James that he prayed and it rained not on the earth for a span of over 3 years. And then the Bible says that God sent him back to Ahab. Now this was after God fed him by ravens. This was after God fed him with a widow woman, and he sent him back to Ahab. When he goes back to Ahab this second time, he proposes a contest. In this contest, the prophets of Baal, they would make an altar and they would call on their God to bring fire down. And of course, we know from Scripture they did. They cut themselves, they hollered out, they cried out the whole time while Elijah stood over there and mocked them and told them, hey, listen here, holler louder because your God must be asleep. I need somebody to help me. Elijah was a bad dude. Is everybody all right? We ain't talking about no sissy right here. He's up there with 450 prophets of Baal, and he's like, hey, man, you're going to have to yell a little louder because your God's asleep, apparently. Or maybe he's taking a journey and going off somewhere, all right? So he's just over there heckling them while they're over there doing all of this stuff. They broke the altar down. Elijah, it was his time. He builds the altar. He sets the sacrifice. They pour water on it, which is a big deal because it was a time of drought. They poured water on it 3 times. There was water around the trenches, and Elijah prayed a 61-word prayer, and God sent fire, and he took the sacrifice, the altar, the stones, and licked up all the water in the trenches around it. God showed exactly who he was. And let's see here, Elijah, at that point, once he had proven that God was a living God and Baal worship was false, he killed all the prophets of Baal. And as soon as he did this, he turns around to Ahab and he says, I'm going to go and pray and there's going to be rain. And that's exactly what he did. He went up the mountain 7 times. He come back to a sound of rain. The Bible says that he told Ahab, get to Jezreel because it's fixing to rain. Amen. And the Bible tells us that Elijah ran in front of the chariots of Ahab. Now listen here, not only was he a bad man, but he was a fast man. Is everybody all right? 17 miles he ran ahead of the chariots and got back to Jezreel before Ahab did. Ahab went into his wife Jezebel, and how many of you ladies know a Jezebel? Don't raise your hand right there, all right? But he went back and told his wife Jezebel all the things that had happened, And this was Jezebel's response. You would have thought that after hearing everything, she would have said, you know what? It's time we change gods in this nation. It's time that we serve the living God at this time. But this wasn't her response. And can I say this? There's still a Jezebel spirit in our churches today that will hear the truth and still chase after something that is false. And so here the Bible says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. And by the way, that was her prophets that she supported with the money from the treasury of Israel. The Bible says, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. This is what Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you just like you killed them. All right. Now, if she'd have meant to do this, she would have went ahead and done it. Or she would have took somebody, they would have went and got him and taken him back to her, and they would have already done it. Her intentions wasn't to kill him. I believe this with all my heart. Her intention was to make a mockery out of him by him running, and that's exactly what happened. This great man of God that had all this courage, that feared no man, that stood up and mocked the 450 prophets of Baal, that called fire down from heaven, that ate from the beak of a raven, that ate from the hand of a widow woman, that watched a barrel last over a year and a half with food in it, with just a handful of meal. This same prophet, the same man of God, takes off running.
Yep.
Amen. All right. Now, why do you say all that, preacher? Because if he run, there's a good chance me and you would run in the same position. Is everybody all right? Probably a lot less it'd take for us to run. The Bible says in verse number 3, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Now, in Scripture, that don't look like a big deal. But Beersheba was literally 80 miles away from Jezreel. So when this joker ran, I need somebody to hear me right here. He ran, all right? 80 miles away, he stops, leaves his servant, and he goes into the wilderness all by himself. The Bible says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. This same man that prayed and called fire down from heaven is now praying and asking God to kill him. The Bible says I can imagine he still has the fear and the thoughts of Jezebel killing him when he says this and says, I'd rather God you take my life than for me to die at her hand. But here in the Bible, it tells us, he said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And I can just go ahead and testify, there's been many times in my ministry, there's been many times in my life, not when I've requested to die. And by the way, I am not suicidal at all. So if there's a suicide, y'all get the police involved. Michelle did something, all right? And I'm not one. I'm self-preservation. I need somebody to help me. If there is a suicide and they say they deem it to be suicide, y'all get the police after my wife. She did something, all right? Now, let's move on. And the Bible says this. He says, it is enough. And I have been there. I've been there in ministry. I've been there in life. It is enough. I've just had enough. My mama used to say that all the time. How many of you had a mama that said it? I've had enough. Right? That was right before the beatings commenced. Amen. I have had enough. Verse number 5. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Can I say this? The journey is too great for you and I. The journey is too great for you and I. We're going to need some help on this journey. See, what this angel was trying to get across to Elijah here was that you're not going to make it on your own.
Amen.
You ain't going to be able to work it all out on this journey. You're going to need help from another world. Is everybody all right? We'll go on verse number 8. And the Bible says, and he arose and did eat and drink and went in strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights into Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And listen to this. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And I say this real quick. That's all the more reason he should have been alive. If he was the only one that was left, somebody's got to tell them about God. Somebody's got to tell them about Jesus. Everybody all right? If he was the only one that was left, that was the greatest argument for him not dying. Amen. The Bible tells us, verse number 11, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him with the same question as before. What are you doing here? What doest thou here, Elijah? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, I thank you, Lord, for a time that we can gather together and sing and worship you. Lord, I'm thankful for your word this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to get exactly what we need. Lord, I pray for every person in this building this morning, Lord. I pray for every heart that's here. Lord, there's burdens that's walked through this door that I do not know about. God, there's burdens that have been expressed already this morning. But God, we know that you are the God of all comfort. God, we know that you're able to strengthen just as you strengthened Elijah. And so, Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, as we begin our journey, or maybe we're in the middle of our journey, God, I pray that we get a good understanding, Lord, of our inabilities. And God, I pray that we would depend on you and lean on you. And Lord, allow you to be a part of our great journey. God, I pray this morning that you would have your will and way in this place. Minister to every heart. And we'll be sure to thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we read this passage of Scripture, you see the outline, or you see what's going on in the life of Elijah. Elijah is running in fear for his life. He comes to a juniper tree. He requests that he might die. God does not answer that prayer request, and we praise the Lord for that. But the Bible tells us that God sent him to a place, and that place was Mount Horeb. Me and you know about that place because I believe in Scripture, this cave that he went to, a matter of fact, is such a direct link to Moses and the cleft that he stood in when God passed by and showed him his glory. And so as this goes on, we understand that God meets in this place at Sinai, this Mount Horeb. And this is exactly where he sent Elijah 40 days and 40 nights on the meat that he fed him from the angel. And he goes there for the purpose of restoration. That's been a word that we've been using around here all year long. Matter of fact, I told y'all that was my word for the year, was restore. And I believe this is exactly what the prophet needed, and I think we can prove this because he left out of here with purpose. He left out of here with a goal and intention to do God's work, and he never looked back from this point. But he goes to this mountain, and the Bible says he was still searching for God. He was still in the mully grubs, if you will, and he went out, and the Bible says that a wind came through, breaking up all the rocks, but God wasn't in it. And then the Bible says there was an earthquake, and lastly, the Bible says there was a fire. And the point of all this is that Elijah had done such great things that he had gotten used to looking for God in the big things. Bible says, but there was a still small voice. That still small voice, we've heard it preached many a time, and it could be preached that it was a whisper, but it was no more than a whisper. But some even say that it was just dead silence. Have you ever been in dead silence and heard the Lord? Oh, yeah, I have. Maybe you haven't, but I have. Absolutely. Matter of fact, it's oftentimes when I can cut out all the distractions and get in the dead silence that I hear the Lord more clearly. But as we look at this, I want to start off by giving you some characteristics about Elijah. Because Elijah just wasn't any ordinary man. I want you to see that he's a man, the Bible says, that was like us. He was a man that was just like us, with like desires and pleasures. He was just like us. But I want to talk about him just for a moment. His demeanor, I want you to know, he was a rugged man. He was built for adversity. This man was fed by ravens. I need somebody to help me right here. Sat by a brook, watched it dry up, drank from the brook, and was fed by ravens. Now, we all would say that we could survive out in the wilderness, but most of us couldn't survive without our cell phone. I need a witness. Hallelujah. Some of y'all ain't never been without a cell phone. I need somebody to help me. I remember, we done told these stories before, but I can remember when the phone was on the wall. And to talk, you had to stand there by the wall. And this is why marriages lasted back then. I need somebody to help me. You stand there for 3 hours. I love you. I love you more. I love you. I love you more. Now y'all text one another. I love you. And it's all good. Back then, we had a 3-hour hang up. I need somebody to help me right here. All the while, our mom was hollering out, "Get off the phone." All right. Unless you was like me and Michelle, we had a party line. Anybody know what a party line is? And Michelle's aunt, Vicky, would be on the other end of the party line because she was a gossip. I need everybody to hear me right here. And so she'd get on the phone. Y'all got to get off the phone, all right? And we're trying to talk on here. But anyhow, he was a man that was built for adversity. He was a man that was built. He was a rugged man. The Bible says that he was a courageous man. He confronted Ahab more than one occasion. He didn't just confront him and say there ain't going to be no rain. He came back and confronted him and said there is going to be rain. Then he came back and he confronted him when he stole a vineyard. He lived in enemy territory. This isn't a man that walked around freely. This was a man that lived in Zarephath, which was in Zidon, which is exactly where Jezebel was from. He was a man, though, that was obedient. He was obedient at the brook when God sent him to a brook. He was obedient with the widow when God sent him to Zarephath. He was obedient with the contest because God sent him back for this contest with the prophets of Baal, and yet he went and stood in front of 450 of them. We see that he had faith. We see his faith in the confrontations. We see his faith by going to the brook. We see his faith by going to the barrel. Amen. We see his faith in his prayers. Does everybody understand? He trusted God and had so much faith in God that he prayed a 61-word prayer. Some of y'all pray longer than that over a biscuit. And he had such faith in God that he prayed and fire fell down from heaven. We see that he had his faith in the miracles. Do you realize that he was the first one that raised somebody from the dead? It had never been done before. But oh, Elijah, he was the first one that raised a child from the dead. We see his depression. Now, you see this great man and all of his accomplishments, but we have to know he was a man that battled depression. He was a man that felt like he was all alone. He was a man that felt like his journey was all by himself. I need somebody to help me this morning. How many times have you felt alone? I don't know about you. I can't speak for you, but what I can speak is for me, and I feel like I am on this journey alone. I can have people around me and I still feel alone. I can sit in a church with 400 people and I still feel alone. I've fought some many battles. I have seen God do some great things. I have watched God as he has honored obedience. I have watched God as he has honored my faith. But there are times in my life where I can sit in a crowded room and I feel like I'm the only one in the room. He battled depression. We're going to look at this tonight, or today. I want to look at this about his journey. Because the angel said something to him in verse number 7 that I want to preach on this morning. He says, "The journey is too great for thee." The journey is too great for thee. See, you can't do it alone. I need somebody to help me. I remember Brother Larry one time, we had a group come in and they sang, "As long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else." And I remember Brother Larry looking at me and he's saying, "Boy, don't you believe that lie." So you're going to need more than just Jesus to get through life. God puts people in your life and God puts things in your life. God uses people in your life to help you along your journey. Don't go at it alone. I want us to look at this journey this morning, if we can, for just a few moments. I want you to see, first off, the certainties on the journey. The certainties on the journey. We look at the journey this morning and you and I are on. Each one of us have our own journey. Each one of us has our own path that we're going to take. But here's the thing about it. In that path and in that journey, there are going to be discouragements. And I need somebody to hear me this morning. Discouragements are too great for thee. The discouragements are too great for thee. There's certainties in this journey, and the discouragements are too great for you. I know this, I notice this, the decisions are too great for you. We're running around like we are our own God. We're running around like we're the creator. We're running around like we got it all figured out. The decisions are too great for you this morning. You can't make those decisions on your own. You can't get through discouragement on your own. Can I say this? The demands of the journey are too great for you this morning. Man, I love the journey. We love to ride motorcycles, and this is what this thing is going to be themed about, especially during the 11 o'clock hour. Man, I love to ride, and we go out on a ride, and you got one person that asks, "Hey, where are we riding today?" And my standard response is, "We don't know. I don't know." We just get on the bike and wherever we end up is where we end up. Hey, we don't normally make plans. As a matter of fact, I have paid way too much for a hotel room because we didn't make plans before we left and ended up. I remember we ended up in, what was it? Where did we end up, Brother Brian? In Missouri. Branson, Missouri. I paid $350 for a Hilton room. Come on, I need somebody to help me. It was worse than the Microtel. Paid $350 to sleep in a room one night because we didn't make plans. Is everybody all right? We just get out, hit the road, and ride. Man, it's great to get out on the journey, but the demands of the journey are too great for you. The discouragements of the journey are too great for you. The decisions in the journey are too great for you. The distance of the journey is too great for you. And the distractions on the journey are too great for you. Can I ask you a question this morning? Do you realize how difficult this journey is for all of us? Listen here, we've been sold a lie. We've been sold a lie. We've been taught to believe that once we get saved, everything's going to be great and okay. We've been taught to believe that as soon as we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, that everything else is going to work itself out. But the Bible tells us this, that God does work all things together for our good, but all things include bad things. All things include bad things. There's not one person on this earth, walking on this earth, who has not experienced trouble. Job said this, "Man is a few days and full of troubles." What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the journey is too great for you to try to do it alone. Amen. You realize how difficult your journey is. I'm thankful that we get this life. I'm thankful that we get to experience life. I'm thankful for the freedom that we have. I'm thankful for the country that I live in that allows me to express myself. But the journey is too great for us to do alone. We see certainties of the journey. But this morning I want you to notice this, the companion on the journey. See, the certainties of the journey is that it's too great for you, but there's a companion on the journey. I want you to first notice his promptness that he shows. The Bible says as soon as Elijah prayed this prayer in verse number 4 and asked God to take his life, that as soon as he done that, we look in verse number 5 and the Bible says an angel shows up on the scene. The Bible says that as soon as Elijah had gotten to his lowest point, God shows up. See, when Elijah had no one, y'all got to hear me right here. Up until this point, Elijah had a plan. Elijah was running for his life. He was trying to get through it on his own. But as soon as he realized, I can't go any further, I can't outrun Jezebel, he said, God, take my life. And God said, I'm here. I'm right here. I'm ready now. You're ready now. Can I say this? God will show up in your life once you get to the place where you surrender your life. He showed up exactly when Elijah couldn't do it himself anymore. As soon as he was out of options, God shows up. God didn't rebuke the prophet. God didn't get mad at the prophet. God didn't bring judgment on the prophet. God came to him and he fed him. He nurtured him. He allowed him to get some rest. See, we see the promptness he shows. We see the path that he sets. He said, Elijah, this thing ain't going to get fixed by coals of fire. It ain't going to get fixed by this wood-burning stove. It ain't going to get fixed by this meal. It ain't going to get fixed by this little bit of rest. And so he sent him on a journey. 40 days, the Bible tells us, to the place where God would show up and speak to Elijah and to speak into his life. So there's a path he sets. There's the provisions he supplies, the cake, the water, the rest that he needed. But then in verse number 12, the Bible says there was a still small voice. There is a peace that he speaks. I don't know about you, but I have needed this more times than I can count in my life. I read a quote this week, I think it was, maybe Adrian Rogers. How about this? Somebody sent me an Adrian Rogers thumb drive, and somebody stole it out of the envelope. I hope they listen to every bit of the preaching. Amen. And get saved. I'm still mad about that. A little bitter. Y'all pray for me. But I think it was Adrian Rogers talking about this, and he was talking about when you and I get sideways with God and we get away from God, there is no peace until we get back in fellowship with God. Like some of us are fighting and wondering why we have no peace in our life. You have no peace in your life because you ain't with the peacemaker. Amen. You don't have a relationship with the one that brings peace, the Prince of Peace. He is peace, the King of Peace. Amen. We see the peace that he speaks, but then we see the purpose that he secures. I love this. The Bible tells us, I didn't read it, but as we go on through, God gave Elijah ministries. He was to go to Hazael, and he was to anoint him. He was to go to Jehu, and he was to anoint him. He was to go to Elisha, and he was to anoint him. And let me tell you, Hazael was an enemy of Israel. God sent him to an enemy because God would later use Hazael to judge Israel. God sent him to the king, Jehu, because God needed a godly leader that would do his best to get rid of the prophets of Baal. And Jehu did that for a time until he turned to idolatry. But God sent him to Elisha. Because this prophet said, I'm all alone. God said, I got somebody that'll walk the journey. I got somebody that'll walk this journey with you. I got somebody, the Bible says about Elisha, that he poured water on the hands of the man of God, talking about Elijah. He served Elijah, and the best I can see from study, it was about 20 years that he walked with Elijah. Elijah said, I'm all alone. God said, no, you're not. I got somebody that's going to walk hand in hand, side by side with you on your journey and help you through this journey. So the Bible says that Elijah got up and he went straight to Elisha. He skipped all the other ones first. He went straight to Elisha and got him somebody that would walk the journey with him. We see the certainties of this journey. We see the companions of the journey. Lastly, I want you to notice the coaching for the journey. There were some things that I seen in here that I hope will be a blessing to you. They just some truths that stick out to me. But verse number four, this is what, at the end of verse number four, this is what Elijah says. He said, I am not better than my fathers. This is what Elijah was essentially saying, I'm worse than they are. He looked back in the past and said, I'm not even close to being as good as they are. Listen to me right here. Don't let Satan trick you into believing you're worthless. Amen. Oh, I need you to hear that right now. Don't let Satan trick you into thinking that you are worthless. Elijah sat up under a juniper tree, thought his life was over, thought he couldn't do anything else for the cause of Christ, for the cause of God. He sits under a juniper tree and said, just take my life, take me now. I'm not any better than those that have gone before me. Matter of fact, I'm worse, I'm weaker, I don't have the faith that they do. God said, I'm not done with you. Don't allow Satan to trick you into thinking that you're worthless. Number two, don't be afraid to express your feelings to God. Elijah cried out and he says, I'm the only one that's here and I'm the only one that's doing anything for you. All your other prophets, all the other ones have gone on. God said, this helped me. I hope it helps y'all. God told him, there's 7,000 more that have not bowed the knee. Listen, Elijah thought that this great miracle up on Mount Carmel was going to change the nation. Lord, help me to get it out right. He thought that this great miracle of calling fire down from heaven was going to change Israel. But God said, they 7,000 people that have heard you preach. There's 7,000 that have heard about Elijah. There's 7,000 that wasn't standing on Mount Carmel, but they're all through Israel, and they've not bowed the knee to Baal nor worshiped him. He thought it was in the great things that God was working, but God let him know through that still small voice that it was in his faithfulness in the little things that God was making a difference. Elijah was making a difference all through Israel. Yeah. Don't be afraid to express your feelings to God. And don't be fooled into thinking God only operates in the spectacular. And then don't let Satan convince you that you're all alone. Too many times in my life I've listened to, as Brother Larry would call him, old Slewfoot, tell me over and over again that you're all alone. Too many times have I believed the lie that in my darkest time God left me alone. Even though I know and preach something completely different, I tell you he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you, but you're in the moment. How many has ever turned around and said, where are you at, God?
Amen.
We all have a journey. We all have a journey, and that journey is too great for you to do alone.
That's right.
Brother Matt, you can go ahead and start that thing. Bow your heads with me this morning. There's a journey with a great distance. A gulf, if you will. Bible tells us in Luke chapter number 16, there was a gulf fixed between heaven and hell. A great journey, a great distance. But just as God provided for Elijah, God has provided for you. God made a way through his only begotten Son, who came 2,000 years ago, stretched his arms out, hung between heaven and earth, died a death sacrificial for you, because the journey was too great for you. The Bible says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. A way was made. A path was set. Because the journey was too great for you. God himself came to this earth, died on a cross for you, to bring you into fellowship with him. If you're in this building this morning and you don't know him as a companion, listen to me and listen good. The journey is too great for you. You're going to need God's presence in this journey. You're going to need him. You're going to need God's provisions in this journey. You're going to need them. You're going to need God's people in this journey. You can't do it alone. But God will let you run until you run out of options. And this morning, if you sit in this building and you finally come to the place where you realize you can't get to heaven on your own, it's time for you. You have run out of options. It's time for you to just surrender and say, God, here I am. I want to help you. If you died at this moment and you aren't 100% sure you go to heaven, listen to me. I don't care what you've prayed in the past. I don't care what you've experienced emotionally in the past. If you sit in a chair right now and say, preacher, if I was to die at this moment, I am not ready to stand before God. I do not know that I'm saved. If that's you this morning, I want you to know before you leave here, you can be. Because I came to church the same way back in 1997. I sat on the second row of the church, lost as I could be. Out of options, on the run, had rejected him over and over. But that morning he came to me. He came right where I was. And he's done the same this morning. You want to get this thing settled this morning and know where you'd spend eternity if you was to die, why don't you pray with me this morning? If you want to be saved this morning, you believe that Jesus came and died for you, was buried and rose again, why don't you pray with me this morning? You pray something like this. Our Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Are you praying? Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner. This morning I realize I cannot save myself. I am out of options. God, the best way I know how, I ask you to save me this morning. I thank you for your Son that died for me, was buried and rose again so that I could be in fellowship and have a relationship with you. Lord, save me this morning. Lord, take my life and give me purpose. In Jesus' name. Nobody's looking around. If you prayed that prayer with me this morning and you're sitting here in this building, I want you to just lift your hand right up where I can see it. I'm not going to send anybody to you. Preacher, I prayed that prayer this morning. Just lift your hand up. I'm not going to come. I see it. You can put your hand down. Thank you. as anybody else. I'm not going to come to you. We ain't going to send anybody to you. We ain't wanting to embarrass you. Listen, according to the Bible says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's exactly what you did this morning. Amen. And according to the Bible, you're saved. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Not that you might think or hope, but that you might know. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for this one that raised her hand this morning. This one has trusted you this morning with their salvation. God, I'm thankful for the cross. I'm thankful for my salvation. But God, September 28, 1997, I gained more than just salvation. I gained a companion. And this journey has been great. And there's been times that I found myself saying, it is enough. There's been times I've questioned you. There's been times, God, that I've looked and thought that I was the only one. Only to have you show up, break bread, comfort me, strengthen me, inspire me, get me back on the journey. God, I'm thankful for the people that you put in my life that's walking this journey with me. I'm thankful for a wife that's been by my side for over 30 years. Kept me grounded. Over and over again has been the encouragement that kept me getting up and coming back. Friends in my life that have encouraged me along the way, walked with me along the way, cried with me along the way, helped carry me along the way. Lord, I pray this morning for every person in this building. Pray they realize how much they need you, how well you provided for us, and the value of your people that you place in our lives. Lord, this morning, go with us as we leave out of here on our journey. God, may we once again be revived. May we once again, Lord, find purpose. May we once again, God, find you at every turn. Lord, we'll be sure to thank you for what you've done here this morning, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. And the church said,